Good to see you this morning. I want to acknowledge Tim Ducharme is back home with us. Praise God for watching over him. I've already told on Si quite a bit about all the cookies and stuff that she's been feeding Sarah Depp, but if you guys have any stories about how she didn't feed the boys correctly, you go ahead and feel free to jump on in there, okay, because we want to make sure that Tim knows the truth, all right? It is good to have you, Tim. We prayed for you a lot. We'll continue to pray for our servicemen and women across the globe. Another note, too, is I talked to Matthew and Amanda Appel on Thursday. They're over at Dallas-Fort Worth. Matthew's going to school, and Amanda just had one praise after the other. If you remember, we prayed for them numerous times, but we sent them out specifically with some specific prayer requests, and God is just meeting those one after the other. The provisions that God has been providing for them, the favor that God has shown them with Matthew's job. He also has to have a job while he's there, and Amanda's looking for a job that fits that his schedule perfectly. And she just listed about five things, and I just want to acknowledge how God has been answering this body and other bodies that's been praying for them's prayer request, and just praise God for that. But please continue to pray for them, because they're going to be gone for a little while, okay? And I did ask Amanda how she was recovering from losing the baby. She said she's doing very well. God has just done miraculous things inside of her, brought her a great peace, and had focus on what has to be done for them as a family there. So we praise God for all that, and I wanted to bring you that report, okay? Tell you what, I'm going to give you a little helpful hint. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to Psalm 90. John, if you have the PowerPoint, which I never really asked you if you ever put that, I didn't ever ask you if you had it ready or not. So this morning, title of this message is Making Your Life Count. How'd you get dusty on there? I could, of course, that's probably me a lot of days, but Making Your Life Count. I, on a serious note about that ball game between Georgia and Boise State last night, Daniel, I can see you're going to have to take some time to pray for forgiveness, okay? They'll play next week. Did any of you see the interview with Herschel Walker? Bailey did. Did you see it? Any of you see it? Okay. Who of you here doesn't know who Herschel Walker is? Seriously. Any of you not know who Herschel Walker is? Herschel Walker played football for the University of Georgia in the early 80s. He is an awesome, awesome football player. But they interviewed him yesterday, last night, during the middle of the game. And the interviewer said, asked him a question. She said to Herschel, I know during the summer you spent a lot of time with this Georgia team. Because Herschel has decided now at age 48 to get into MMA, mixed martial arts, at 48. And so he went back up to the University of Georgia to work out. And while he was there, he started working out with the football team. So he spent a lot of time with this team, this particular year's team, more than past. And she asked, she said, Herschel, when this team has gotten down, because they've gone through some adversity, players have had to leave the team for various reasons, she said, what have you told them? What do you tell them when adversity strikes? He says, well, I tell him, I said, you got to look to the Lord Jesus Christ to lift you up. He said, you got to look up to go up. I was like, wow. Herschel made it count. He was ready for the answer because it's his answer because that's part of who he is, part of who Herschel is. And I thought, what an awesome testimony to what God has done in his life and what God has continued to do, that as he is up there at the University of Georgia sharing with these young men, and others who will listen. But on national TV, he didn't hesitate. He didn't have to think about it. Look to the Lord Jesus Christ to lift you up, because if you look up, you can go up. And I thought, what a powerful testimony. So this day, as we're making your life count, I'm going to be honest with you about a few things today, is that some of this may just be rambling. Because as I was putting this down, there were just a lot of thoughts that came to my mind about making my life count so your life can count. And I hope up to this point that your life has been counting for something. But I want you to know in my heart of hearts, I believe a few things about the church in America, okay? I believe one is that God is gently tapping on our shoulder. Gently tapping on our shoulder and saying, church, you're supposed to be the salt and the light. It's time to get busy. It's time to get busy being the salt and the light. And I think he's just gently tapping now. But it's not past God to get our attention in more stronger, more poignant ways, is it, church? I believe he'll do it. Second thing I believe is this. As the church in America moves along, as we kind of on cruise, I believe there is something that we have yet to awaken to, and that is this. I believe we are spiritually hungry. Now, I believe who I'm talking to this morning, probably the majority of you have asked Jesus to be Lord of your lives, and I'm glad of that. But I want you to know today that I believe that God is tapping our shoulder to wake up and say, you guys, the church, you are feeding on things that don't fill you up. You are filling yourself up with things that don't really matter. And you know, most of us have probably said this. Maybe some of you are already thinking this. I'm starving to death. I can't wait for lunch. Or I can't wait to get over to Tina's house because I know they got homemade food. Maybe that's just me. Which, by the way, you can go over there about 2 o'clock. 2 o'clock and eat. And eat. I'm sure they have prepared something fine as always, okay? But you know something, guys? How many of them in this room really honestly, how many of us know what it's really like to starve? I don't. I don't know what it's really like to starve. Because real starvation says I have nothing to eat and I don't know where anything is going to come for me to eat. And that's the way you live day after day after day. That's being hungry for something. And I believe today that God has given us the opportunity to do a couple things. And one of them is to say, yeah, God, I want to wake up. And two, I understand that really there's an emptiness inside of me that I've yet to acknowledge. That occasionally I'll say, I'm hungry for God. And do something to get a little appetizer. But in reality, we are in starvation mode. I believe that. But I also believe that God has given us opportunity to do something about it. And so this morning, as we look at the next slide, this is our verse I just want to start us off with, making your life count. Unless the Lord builds a house, they, people who build the house, labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchmen keep awake in vain. Why? Because it is vain for you to rise up early, to retire late, to eat the bread of painful labors, for he give his beloved even in his sleep. Unless the Lord builds it. It's in vain, it's empty, it does not fulfill, and we stay tired and we stay weary. We need to be hungry for what God is doing, what he's up to, and let him fulfill us. That sleep part, for he gives to his beloved even in his sleep. God can miraculously restore and refresh like none other. So how do we go about making your life count? Number one, why are we called to make our lives count? It's as simple as this. Because we are made in His image. Genesis 1:27. God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. If we're made in the image of God, is it fair to say that God makes His existence count? Does he count? Do his purposes count? Do the way he goes about his existence make a difference? Yes. Whose image are we created after? That's right, God's. So if his existence counts, then our existence should count. Number two, he has prepared good works for us. Ephesians 2:10 says this, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them." Now understand something. Remember this. I think you guys got it, but I'm just going to remind you. We're not talking about working for salvation. You've received salvation, then God has prepared things for you that are good, fulfilling works. He has those ready. We always talk about God has a plan for you. That's part of that. His workmanship, you and I, created in Christ Jesus for good works. The work that Christ did on this earth, wasn't it good works? And he has the same type of work in mind for us, which God has already prepared beforehand so we can do it. If you want fulfillment in your life, if you want to see your life count, then get on board with what God is doing and let him use you. Remember that word workmanship basically means you're a masterpiece. You're awesome. So there's some great things for you to do that God has called you to. It may not be significant in the eyes of the world, but it's significant to Him. The little things matter to Him. And number three, making your life count, He has sent us. We've been sent, haven't we? And it says, Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. How many times, whether you realize it or not, do you or do I spend a day thinking, what difference do I make anyway? How often do we go through life, days, weeks, maybe a whole season, and thinking, what difference does my existence make? When Jesus reminds me that everywhere you go, whether it's lunch, it's school, at work, that you have an opportunity, you have a blessing to be sent by Him, to be used by Him right there and then. To make your life count, you have to realize those things, that He sent you, He's called you, and you are in His image. Okay? You are in His image. Those are things about making your life count for Him. But how do we go about doing that? How are we going to make our lives count? Well, let's look at about 4 points. You look at your life from God's perspective. How often do you and I look at our life from the pity party that we're throwing for ourselves? From our hole down the ground that we've dug to bury our head in the sand, that hoping that when we pull up and look again, that something will be different. And what we realize, that nothing's different, but more importantly, we're not different either. Look at it from God's perspective. We're going to walk through Psalm 90 this morning. That's why I gave you a heads up. Psalm 90 is the only psalm written by Moses. It's the only one written by Moses. I think Moses had a good handle on making his life count, don't you? Because he was at royalty, and then he spent 40 years out in the desert, sometimes having a little bit of a pity party himself, had an encounter with the living God. Then he spent the last 40 years leading a bunch of people that most of the time really didn't want to be led. And at times, they were ready to give up on him, and he was ready to give up on them, wasn't he? But yet, at the end of it, Moses made his life count. So we're going to walk through Psalm 90 this morning with point number one. If you want to make your life count, look at your life from God's perspective. It says in Psalm 90, 1 and 2, Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you gave birth to the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. I put at the end there something. Can you see where it says you are God? Read a book called Crazy Love about 2 years ago. It hurt to read it. If you haven't read it, I'd recommend you read it, okay? Because it'll make you think. And that's one of my favorite, that is my favorite quote from that book by Francis Chan. It says, our greatest fear should not be of failure, but of succeeding at things in life that really don't matter. Okay? You think about that. That's why I put it up there for you. I didn't want to just say it to you. I wanted you to look at it. How many things have you said or thought or maybe even accomplished? And then you look back and you say, wow, that really didn't make any difference. Really didn't make a lot of difference in the end, did it? Look at life from God's perspective. After all, hasn't He been around for a long time? I think He knows what's going on. I think He understands things very, very well. I think He is the one that we can go to and say, you've got it all figured out. How often do we spend time and energy and resources trying to figure out something, and in the end, we realize that we turn to God as the last option, not at the beginning of it. Look at your life from God's perspective. He understood you before you were formed in your mother's womb. He'll understand you through all eternity. He's forever, isn't He? He gets it. He really gets it. As soon as we begin to look at life from God's perspective, I believe something happens. So many things that we thought mattered really don't matter too much. Things that touch eternity matter the most. Some of you were here for the 9:30. Dusty showed a video, a clip, didn't he? Didn't you run that clip? It's a clip from a movie called The Gladiator. You saw it. You saw that, okay? I don't doubt you did, Daniel. At the beginning of the movie, there's a line in there that Russell Crowe says to all the other actors. And he says, remember what you do echoes into eternity. How much do we put our hands to that will never make it into eternity? Never. But looking at life, our lives, from God's perspective, getting a perspective on our lives from His point of view is so important to understanding that our lives do count, that they do matter. Number two, remember, life is short. How many of you have said this to someone younger recently? As you get older, time flies. It goes by fast, doesn't it? Really, really quick. Remember being in grade school and even younger thinking, man, this school year's never going to pass. Yep. And next thing we know, we're sending Michael off to college. We're sending him off to college. He's going by just like that. Life is short, isn't it? Look what Moses tells us. You turn man back into dust and say, return, O children of men, for 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it passes by, or as a watch in the night. You have swept them away like a flood. They fall asleep. In the morning, they are like grass which sprouts anew. Be honest with yourself for a moment. How much do you remember about yesterday? Do you remember many of your thoughts? How about 2 or 3 days ago? Can you remember what you ate? Sure, don't even ask me where I was probably about last Monday or Tuesday. I couldn't probably tell you what I did some of that day. It is so short. It goes by fast. Humans are limited. Aren't we limited? Our lives on earth have a morning, a noon, and then we have a sunset. And you know what is starting to happen in America that really, really upsets me and bothers me? Americans are starting to buy into this midlife crisis thing way too much, as if it's permission to do whatever we want because we weren't happy with the first part of our lives. So let's trade in all the things we don't like for something newer and shinier and something we think is a little bit better. Well, that old saying about the grass is greener on the other side might be true until you stand over there and start turning it brown, isn't it? Isn't it? Okay. Our lives are very, very short. And Moses is very honest. See, that's one of the things I like about this. Moses is honest. Have you come to that realization that today is what you have, tomorrow's not promised, but you better be prepared to live tomorrow too? Because unless God has told you you're not going to be around tomorrow, then you have to live like you have tomorrow also. Because unless Jesus comes, all of us are going to have a gravestone with our name on it probably. Okay? I want you to start thinking about this. I want you to start thinking about what on earth are you here for? How will you make the best of the time that you have left? Because it's like this. If you have amount of time that's been given to you, then you're responsible on how you spend it. You are responsible for how you're going to use it. And I want you to know that you are responsible for it. This isn't time to play the blame game on somebody else or something else. You have been given the time to use. You don't want to gamble that time away, do you? You don't want to just squander it away, do you? Because life is short. God tells you, He gives you a certain amount of time. Use it wisely. Number three, making your life count. Be mindful that sin makes life hard. Any testimonies want to be shared right now? No hands? Me neither. Me neither. But it's true, isn't it? Sin makes life hard. Even if it's not your sin. Maybe someone else's sin has encroached upon you. It says in Psalm 97 through 11, for we have been consumed by your anger, and by your wrath we have been dismayed. You have placed our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. For all of our days have declined in your fury. We have finished our years like a sigh. As for the days of our life, sounds like a soap opera there, doesn't it? As for the days of our life, they contain 7 years, or if due strength, 80 years. Yet their pride is but labor and sorrow. For soon it is gone and we fly away. Who understands the power of your anger and your fury according to the fear that is due you? Sin causes a disconnection in our lives with God and with others. In fact, sin can get God pretty upset because He hates it. He takes it seriously. We might hide things from others and then we wonder, why do I feel so miserable? Well, everyone who lives a double life pays for it in some way. You see, pretending that we're one thing and we're not, just going around putting up a front It just drains us. Sin just drains us. Okay? Probably most of you, if you haven't, go online. It's worth watching. Have you ever seen those time-lapse videos of someone who begins to have an addiction issue, like when they're in their teens, and they do that time lapse and it shows them as they're in their teens and then their 20s, and usually by the time they're in their 30s, they look about 60 years old? Okay? Because sin literally takes life away from us. You might think, well, this or that I'm doing, it's not really that bad. If it's pulling you away from God, it's bad. It's sin. It's making you less fulfilled than you could be. And it's probably a quick fix for something that's missing in your life. And it's pulling you away from other people. And you know something else it's doing? It's making your life inside very unpeaceful. Very unpeaceful. Think about something for just a second. Be mindful that sin makes life hard. We are living in a time and a place, literally in a place. I don't mean generally. I'm talking about the Savannah, Georgia is the place where sin is just eating away at our culture. And it is making life difficult for a lot of people. For a lot of people. So to make your life count, be honest. Be honest that God dislikes the sin. It upsets Him. When you drift away, you need to ask yourself, God, is there anything in my life that's displeasing to you? Be mindful that sin makes life hard. Number four. I got to the number four is the easy point. Realign your priorities. That's a joke. I'm jesting with you, okay? If it was that easy, wouldn't need the sermon, would we? It says in Psalm 90, 12 through 17, so teach us to number our days that we may present you a heart of wisdom. Do return, O Lord, how long will it be? And be sorry for your servants. O satisfy us in the morning with your loving kindness, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days you have afflicted us and the years we have seen evil. Let your work appear to your servants and your majesty to their children. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us and confirm us for the work of our hands. Yes, confirm the work of our hands. Because I believe that should be our prayer today. Confirm the work of our hands. God, what are you doing that I can join you? God, where can I put my hands where you're working? God, where can I put my time, my energy, my resources where you're working? You know, you might be surprised that with consistent living to make your life count for the kingdom of God, you may actually be surprised what God has you to do and not to do. You see, we live, I believe, so often under a big-time lie that I believe the devil has lied to the church in America and we have bought in, and that is this. To make our life count for the kingdom, we got to be as busy as possible. How many times do we read in Scripture, Jesus got up early, heaven forbid we get up early, Jesus get up early and He went away to Himself? Jesus even told the disciples, talked to them about resting. He was asleep in the middle of a storm. Wouldn't you like to be able to sleep better no matter what life throws at you tonight? Wouldn't you like to be able to rest in a deep rest? About 4 years ago, I had a sleep study done because I didn't sleep well. I still don't really sleep that well, honestly, with you. And when I went to have the sleep study done, I was talking to the young lady that was hooking me up all that gear. If you've never had a sleep study, basically it looked like Frankenstein being built. Okay, they got electrodes all over your head and all kinds of stuff. Okay, and I was asking her about people having sleep studies. And she said, we're so busy that we can't keep up with the number of appointments. I said, really? He said, yes. It is just, and it's been this way. I don't know that it's changed, but I'm guessing it hasn't. And one of the things that broke my heart the most was there was about, I guess the child was 1 or 2 years old. And the child was going to have a sleep study, because I think it was a little girl, because she couldn't sleep. And I was thinking, I wonder what spiritual thing is coming against her. Who could pray over her? Because I'm thinking, where is she feeling the anxiety? Where is she fearful? And then, of course, I relate that back to my life. Where am I fearful. Where's that anxiety come in? Because when I'm at complete peace, falling asleep doesn't seem to be a big deal. Realigning our priorities so God can confirm the work of our hands. I love verse 12. It says, "Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom." What's the opposite of a heart of wisdom? I believe we could use this terminology, a heart of foolishness. Heart of foolishness tells us to spend our energy on the things that don't matter and then have a little bit left over for that that does. How often do you tell yourself, "I'm going to get around to"? "I'm going to start"? "I'm going to begin next"? How often do we do that? It means trying to manufacture our own happiness from doing things that we think will satisfy us. Truth is, guys, is we need to learn from the God of eternity. He has to be our teacher. We don't just need today to talk about some new time management thing. That's not what we're about. We're talking about life management. We're talking about letting God really be the author and perfecter of your faith. We're really talking about Jesus being Lord of your life. Because you learn from God about what's worth your time. Then you go out and you do it. You live with His purpose in mind. With His purpose in mind. Look at 13 and 14 says, or one of the things it talks about is this. One of those very clear purposes is to love Him and be loved by Him. To be loved by Him. Have you let God love on you this week? It comes an ultimate conviction in our heart that He is good and that He satisfies. So how are we going to do these things? How are you going to realign your priorities? How are you going to realize life is short? Those others? I told you before, answer is not simply getting busier. It's not just doing things to do things. So I read a thing where it said, average American worker works 2.5 hours more per week now than they did just 20 years ago. So if getting busier is the answer, then obviously we've missed something. But I don't believe it is. I believe it's some of these things. They're not up there. You might want to write them down or think about them. It's mission critical that we get our right priorities. Serve others. Maintain a balance in your life. Ask God to show you what needs to stay and what needs to go in your life. Ask the hard question, God, what's in my life that's not of You? What are the things in my life that just drain me, that just suck the life out of me? Or another way of saying it is this, where's the weak link in your life? Maintain the balance, serving others, letting God have control over your schedule. Do you know that nothing you do in this life will ever matter unless it is about loving God and loving the people He has made? I believe it's that simple. Loving God and loving the people He has made. To make your life count today, come on today, because we're not done with this day. Just because we end in a few moments with a song, some ministry time, we still have time to make this day count, don't we? Because I want you to know, the world needs Christians who don't tolerate the complacency of their own lives. The world doesn't need another believer who is willing to sit around and talk about the good old days. Because, you know what? When I was living those days, they ain't that good. Okay? I mean, I was just talking to my parents last night. Kathy is not here today. She's in Kentucky for her mother's 70th birthday. We flew her up there as a surprise. Her mom did not know she was coming home. And one of the things that Kathy was telling me was is that she said, "Oh, I might go see a football game at the high school." And I said, "That's fine." I said, "You know, Kathy, did you know that's never really entered my mind when we go up there or even when I was up there for college? I never." And she said, "Really?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "You know why? I don't remember many pleasant memories. I really don't. I drive by that high school every time I'm in Kentucky, at least 10 or 12 times. And I never look over there and I never say, boy, I wish I was still there." I just don't. And I have a lot of good friends. Hey, met my wife there. Yeah, that's right. There I go. I want points for that, by the way, when she comes back. You remember I said that, okay? But loving him and loving his people, that counts. That's touching things into eternity. The world needs you and I to begin to be what he has asked us to be wherever you are all day long. It's going to require you and I to listen very, very carefully each day. How do you know that God's perfect plan for you this afternoon isn't to take a nap? Maybe it's to go to Tina's house and pray that Julie's made blueberry cobbler. Okay? Maybe that's just my prayer. See, we leave God out of the equation a whole lot more than we think we do. So I close with these two thoughts. John, give me the scripture. Are you in with him? Look what Paul says to the church in Thessalonica. May our God count you worthy of his calling. By his power, may he fulfill every good purpose of yours. Now, wait, it has to be a good purpose, a godly purpose. And every act it prompted by your faith, it might cost. Did it cost a lot of martyrs? Does it cost a lot of believers around the world just today? Yes, it has. And may the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen very carefully. There was an article this week on, I'll give you two articles. One, I can tell you where to go get it, WorldNet Daily, WND. And you can read an article about the new leader, of Egypt, devout Muslim. You know what the title of the article is? We will exterminate Christians. And you know what he said in the article? They were interviewing him. He said, what do you mean? He said, well, it's like this. If they don't convert to Islam and they don't pay the taxes, because if you live in a country that's Muslim and you choose not to be Islamic, you can pay a tax. If they don't do one of those things, we will exterminate them. And then they ask him the question about democracy. Democracy? That is nowhere found in Islam. And he said, we believe the Constitution to be against Islam. So we will have to exterminate anything that believes in those things. He was not talking about the Constitution of Egypt. It does not exist. He was talking about the Constitution of the United States of America and the democracy of our country. He was talking about us. Okay? So just in case you haven't woke up and smelled what's really going on, go home and read that article. And then the other one was this. Making your life count. Guys, it's not for the bottom feeders and the barrel bottom dwellers. The church in North Korea, I said North Korea, not South Korea. North Korea, where they have a state church, but they're true Jesus-believing, God-fearing Christians, put out a list of 12 things for their church. If you want to be a part of it, number one on the list, I'll explain it to you after I say it. Do not let it be easy for them to get in. What do they mean? Is this. Brian comes and he wants to be part of the true God-fearing church in North Korea. And he wants to be a part of that. They look at Brian straight in the eye and they'll say, okay, Brian, you can be a part of this fellowship. But understand something. You're expected, if you believe Jesus is Lord of your life, and that you believe God is the creator and sovereign, and you believe in the inerrancy of the Bible, and after Brian agrees to all those things that we believe in, by the way, he says, yeah, I'm in. Okay, but if you really want to be a part of this fellowship, then Brian, are you willing to lay down your life for your brothers and sisters at a moment's notice? Brian, if you can't answer yes to that question, then thanks for coming. You can't be a part of our congregation. That's not bottom feeding, guys. That's just not thinking, oh, thank you, God, we got some warm bodies in the building today. That's saying if you're really in, you really want to make your life count, then God has this kind of standard. He expects these kinds of things. Because you said yes. Okay? You expect yes. Kathy might be in Kentucky right now, but she expects me to be just as faithful with her gone as her with me right here, isn't she? Just because she's out of town doesn't mean I get to play around, right? All right? Guys, he's coming back. And you're going to have to answer the question, what'd you do with what he gave you? And he won't beat around the bush, and you won't get to beat around the bush either. And you won't get to call in help. Daniel won't be sitting over to the right answering questions for you, okay? All right? But I leave you with this thought. Are you willing to do whatever it takes to hear these words? You ready, Priscilla? I'll give you time to catch up. Are you willing to do whatever it takes to hear these words? Well done, good and faithful servant. Those are words that matter to me. I mean, those words carry a weight. Don't they? Because does anyone remember the opposite of well done, good and faithful servant? Wicked and lazy. Jesus called the servant that handled the talents well, well done, good and faithful servant. But the one who basically didn't want to do anything with what God had given, or what the story had given him, Jesus looked at him and said, you are wicked and you are lazy. I don't want to be called wicked and lazy. Well done, good and faithful servant. So my question to you this morning is this. What's your response to God? You can start right now. I'll be here. Our life group leaders will be around. Rick and Regina are on vacation. Dusty and Audrey at another congregation. And Kathy's on vacation. So it's just let alone me up front, I guess, for now. All right? But brothers and sisters, you got one another. We got one another, don't we? Are we in this together? Then let's act like it. Our life group leaders will be around. If you want to get somebody else to pray with, that's fine. That's cool. But are those words you really want to hear? Do you really want to make your life count? Let's pray. Father, we bless you, we honor you. Lord, you're not playing games with your church. You never have and you never will. So Lord, I'd ask you to forgive us when we thought we could play games with you. Father, I would ask you to help us respond according to your will and purpose. Let me pray for us. Father, we are very, very blessed. Lord, I'm thankful today that you never give up on us. God, you are very, very faithful to us. Lord, I ask for us today that we be that faithful back. Father, our lives are meant to be lived for your glory and your honor, to exalt your name in all of the earth. And Lord, I pray that we'd start, if we haven't, or we'll continue if we have been doing those things, Father. We love you. And I'd ask as we go now, watch over and protect us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, guys. Have a good day.